The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by Hilltown Electrical. Hilltown Electrical deals with both domestic and commercial jobs. You can find them on Facebook or by contacting them on 07793 847 390. Hello and welcome to this top six edition of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. Last week it was pointed out during the intro I had an awfully dry mouth, so please bear with me. Much better. I'm Paul Gray and I'll be your host for this evening, as your usual host Daniel Smith is still pulling the paternity leave card. But I'm delighted to be joined by one half, probably the most handsome half, of the Dens Park Choir, Mr. Jake Shaw. Jake, how the hell are you, mate?
I'm awfully good, man. I'm awfully good. How are you?
I'm just having another wee swig of my beer there. I am absolutely sensational, mate. Absolutely sensational. We've got loads to speak about today. Loads. So we've got the Aberdeen game, the top six. Look ahead to the Rangers game, the D-Archive, the Q&A, with everything else in between. So I take it we might as well just get tore right in. What do you think?
I think so. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I think we should do it. Let's go for it. But before I start, Danny, See, I'm missing him. Jake, before we start, I'm going to tell you a wee joke. Do you like a wee joke?
I love a wee joke, Paul.
I heard this on Saturday and I was pissing myself, I must admit. So here we go. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Top.
Top who?
Top six, baby!
Yes! Come on!
One of these, get right in there. What an achievement. What an achievement. Just incredible for everybody associated with a club, you know. But we'll have to do a massive gargantuan shout out to everybody that is involved with the club and helping us secure top six finish for the first time in nearly a decade. How's it feel, Jake?
Beyond words, honestly. It's just so far beyond the expectations. It's just great. And then kind of everything that's gone with it over the recent weeks as well just makes it just that bit sweeter. The way it happened, beautiful, poetic. That is
exactly it, mate. That is exactly it. But listen, we better watch. We better not celebrate too much, you know. You know, we can't celebrate top six finishes because obviously the celebration police have been out in force over the weekend. Their chief constable, Tom English, you know, he'll be watching with, so we better not celebrate too much, Jake. Yeah.
No, absolutely, I will not.
Ah, there he is. Absolutely sensational. Danny's going to have a fit when he listens back to this.
Absolutely is. And to you, that may look like a normal beer. Listeners, I'm holding up my can. It may cost the same as a normal beer, but my God, it tastes so much sweeter. It is a top six beer. Oh, tremendous.
Top six beers. You always see that kind of question. What's the best beer? Is it the shower beer? Is it the sitting on a balcony beer when the sun's splitting up? No. Top six beers. By far the greatest. Now, between you and me, I keep going to call you Danny.
I'll take it as a compliment, to be honest.
Take it as a compliment because he's a handsome bastard. But Jake, now, between you and me, I think me and you could list a few names of folk we would love to absolutely get it right up. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm not even going to waste my breath. I'm not going to waste my time. It has been wonderful seeing everybody's tears. How much have you enjoyed those tears, Jake?
They have been beautiful. Nick Montgomery, Stuart Kettlewell, the accountants that seem to know what we're doing with our money. It's absolutely stunning.
Absolutely stunning. Brilliant. I totally forgot about the accountants as well. But yeah. Speaking of tears, I'm just going to take another wee swig. 2 sec. Lovely flavoured tears.
What flavour have you got?
I've got Kettlewell. What about you?
I've got a Belgian brand. Clermont.
Oh, wonderful. I'll have to pick some of them up on Wednesday. I cannot wait for them as well. Brilliant. But listen, what I was trying to say there really about not wasting the time to speak about these individuals because I think every D knows exactly who would be on that list, right? Mm-hmm. That's an absolute fact. All I want to speak about is just this incredible achievement by Dundee Football Club. Yeah. I think that's what we're going to get tore into now, Jake. So let's go for it. The Aberdeen game. So here we go. A 0-0 draw was enough for obviously the D's to secure the top six. I don't think I've celebrated a 0-0 draw quite like this one. But the game itself, I had a lot of talking points. There was shoddy refereeing, I must admit. Goal line clearances, a goal chopped off, VAR checks, and a red card. Now, Jake, where do we start, mate?
Where do we start? We absolutely battered them, specifically in the second half.
Oh yeah.
I think that's where we start. Aberdeen were lucky to get out of that with a point. And you'd think Cameron will be disappointed not to score. Two really, really good chances. As you say, one cleared off the line. That's just a fantastic bit of defending. And then went close by hitting the bar again. Goals chopped off, you said. However, I think in this instance, we're not too hard done by.
Yeah.
Four different offences in that that one phase of play.
At least. I mean, obviously, me and old boy were up at the game with my dad's cousin Alan, which was obviously it was a brilliant day out, obviously, but yourself, obviously, you couldn't make it due to the work commitments, but you did say that you were listening to it on the wireless, so what was it like listening to it on the radio?
Oh, it was honestly the most difficult thing. I'd rather I was there, because you could hear what was going on sometimes, because it was sports sound I was listening to, so it was giving you flashes of kind of what was happening, and I was just, my heart was going like 100 miles an hour the whole time. Honestly, I couldn't hack it in between doing my job if my boss is listening.
You were off the clock, mate. You were off the clock. You're all right. If he's listening, it doesn't matter. But yeah, no, I was someone else at the game as well. Great, great support from the Dundee fans, obviously. I'm not too sure the numbers, but it doesn't really matter. It was just voices. It was absolutely brilliant. But I mean, right from the start, Nick Walsh, he set the standard for his officiating right through the word go with a booking on Portales, which the sports team conveniently missed out all Dundee's yellow cards, actually, which I thought was a bit strange, because, I mean, that was 3 minutes into the game. Just innocuous. Just a challenge. It didn't look like it was anything. And it was his first tackle. And straight to the card. There we go. And within 25 minutes, Dundee had three players booked. Portales, Costello, and who was the other one? McGee. And I think the only one out of those bookings that was worthy of a booking was Costello. But the other two, they just looked like normal fouls. That was it. But he seemed to miss everything against Bakayoko. Baka was getting manhandled the entire game, and nothing was said about it. And then eventually he booked Mr. Graham Shinney about 39 minutes into the first half. But we'll no doubt speak about him later on.
We shall indeed, because to be continued.
To be continued, and yeah, that'll probably end up being box office. Might get cancelled, but these things happen. These things happen. But to be fair, there wasn't really a lot to shout about in the first half. Both teams had chances. Both teams probably could have scored, you know. But the longer the game went on, like you said, the longer the game went on, you just felt like Dundee were a stronger team. And the team looked like they were going to get the 3 points. I don't even see the point of even asking you, what did you make of the first half? Because...
No much.
I was thinking. So we'll just go straight. Well, obviously we had the chances. Cameron's chance. Yep, chances. He shot on goal, keeper, good save, and then hitting a bar. But that move that Dundee made for that chance.
The one hitting the bar?
Yeah.
Superb, wasn't it?
It's just brilliant.
Wee triangles on the byline. Oh, the shy line, rather. Right, the throwing line, that one. Wee triangles, and then one pass in the middle. Oh, it was beautiful. Beautiful.
How often do Dundee do that? It seems to be like a pure trademark move that they've got.
Right, second goal against St Johnson. Come from exactly that between Donnelly and who else was it?
It was McCowan and Cameron, was it not?
Ah, McCowan, so it was, and Cameron, and then back up put it away.
It's just brilliant.
They
can't defend that. And this, I've spoke about it numerous times on this podcast throughout the season, that it's just these wee intricate, you know, one touch passes, pass move, triangles, the whole lot, and we rip teams apart. That would have been up there if a goal of the season if that had went in. Just absolutely gutted.
It's such basic fit, but see when it comes off, It just looks brilliant, doesn't it? That's what Barcelona lived off for years, was basic triangles.
Also, we're saying Dundee are no longer like 1970s Brazil now. We're just saying
no, 2012 Barcelona, yeah. Right, Messi, cool, yeah. Pedro and David Villa.
We'll go with that. Yep, right. We'll go with that. But then on to the second half. There was a change at half-time, obviously with Silla going off for Boateng, which I thought was a bit strange at the time. Maybe, I don't know if there was a knock, but I'm not too sure. He wasn't at... I can't believe I'm actually going to say this about the Derry Vieira because he's one of my favourites, but he didn't really have much luck in the first half, put it that way. But Boateng came on, and I know he's not played for a few weeks, obviously, but he just shows you just what a good player he is. Mm-hmm. Just the way he gets a ball on the deck and he just sprays the passes, good tackles. He's just a very cool customer. It's great to see him back in the team, I must admit. Anyway,
it is. A big fan of Boateng. I think Silla's been a kind of a victim of his own success a bit. His performance has been so good lately that it's dropped ever so slightly. And then he's hooked at half-time. You know what I mean? So, you know, if anything, that's testament to how he's been playing, if nothing else.
I think you're spot on, mate. I think you're absolutely spot on. He's set the bar far too high. Brilliant. Obviously, Cameron had a chance in the second half when the ball was cleared off the line, like you says. But again, great play from Tiffany to chase a ball down. And, you know, it just looked like he never had the ball under control when he put the pass across the ball, across the goal. But, mate, we were screaming that that was in the net. Mm-hmm. We were right in line with that, where we were standing. But like you says, the defending for the boy.
It's fantastic. There's an angle for behind the goal. And one of the, I don't know if it was Neil McCann or whoever the other pundit was, but it was like, it was very, you know, Schmeichel-esque, where you make yourself really big.
Yeah.
And gets it away. I thought that's a spot on analysis of it, because it's a really, really good block.
Couldn't believe it.
Aye.
Could not believe it. Thought that was it, and I thought that was us getting the 3 points. And then, obviously, there was word about, you know, Hibs going 1-0 up. And But see, because one thing I noticed at the game, because obviously there's so many people in that small area, see when you're trying to get the updates on your phone, there was just no internet at all. You could not get the updates. It was, and we were obviously praying for an equaliser for Motherwell. But again, we'll no doubt come back to that one as well.
We will indeed.
But the goal that was chopped off, Jake, right, come on. That is Main's third disallowed goal of the season. He has got to be the highest of that chart. He had his one goal chopped off against Celtic, then away to Hibs, and now this one. What was your take on the disallowed goal?
It's probably fair enough, to be honest. Bakayoko's a mile offside. There's a couple of handballs. There's a foul on the goalie. And then there's a fantastic finish by Main. And I reckon you can only blame it on the fact he's no scary looking as normal, because he's grown his hair in. So he's no terrifying ref.
So you're saying if he had a balder that was bicked, and his big ripped muscles, the referee would have probably gave it a...
Aye, it was age 8 to 9 shirt on. Aye.
This was one of the ones that went to VAR, and it seemed to honestly take an eternity. But looking back at that, when you've seen the replay of it, that should have just been cut and dry. Ah, he's offside. Mm-hmm. Right, that's one. Or as a foul on the keeper, two. Ah, back a handball, three. Take your pick. Mm-hmm. God only knows what it was given for. I think it was just offside, I think. Pretty
must
certain.
Have been. The defender did header it, so maybe they were looking to see if he meant it, and then if they, you know, ruled that he did mean it and he was onside technically, then they were finding something else. Mm-hmm. Because that's what VAR do. They just look for like tiny little reasons to not give goals.
That's pretty much it. And I think everybody's probably sick fed up of it, to be perfectly honest with you. That was one thing I noticed at the Aberdeen game. There was two real VAR things. There was that, and then Aberdeen had I'm sure it was a penalty review late on in the game. But there was nothing over the tannoys. There was nothing over the tannoys to say this is what's happening. They've got a great big TV screen kind of thing, obviously showing the score and the time, you know, in the game. But nothing to basically come up saying potential penalty or potential offside or nothing. So you're sitting there in the dark. It's just an absolute disaster.
Ugh, it totally ruins the experience going to the game, doesn't it?
It really does. And I mean, they can pay for that. They can get the advertising boards, the electronic ones that change all the time, but they kind of have something to come up saying potential this or potential that. Disaster. Exactly. Absolute disaster. But I know we did, I did promise you we would come back to Mr. Shinny. So we might as well. One standout highlight for me was the red card for Mr. Graham Greeting Puss Shinny. And I have to say, it was absolutely sensational. I love seeing him getting a red card. But at the time, I couldn't really see it because everybody was standing up and it was right down at the front. I couldn't really see it, but my dad's cousin Al, he spotted it and he was like, that's a straight red. That's a straight red. But looking at it, he was given a second yellow. What do you think, Jake? Second yellow? Straight red?
The argument's there for both, isn't it? I mean, if you give it a straight red, you've got some of the folks saying that, the game's gone soft. How's that ever a straight red? But it's at very least a booking, you know? Probably on the precipice of a straight red card.
I'm going to go straight red.
Yeah, of course you are.
Obviously I am.
Go gung-ho.
Gung-ho,
six
mate.
Six-game ban, GBH.
Get rid of him, honestly. His yellow card in the first half was an absolute bricker of yellow that you'll ever see for the tug on Costello. But that, for me, I think he should have been straight red carded, and that's him off the park. But anyway, it was lovely to see him trudge off the pitch. I must admit, it was a great big highlight. Mm-hmm. But then, all of a sudden, folks started cheering in the Dundee end. Hang on a minute here. Is there a goal at Hibs? Well, I think there was. And it was a lovely goal for Motherwell. I didn't even remember who the boy was that scored the goal.
Shane Blaney. I've got you. Don't worry. Shane Blaney. Never heard him in my life, but what a goal.
What a goal, man.
The CCTV at my work would have been hilarious to watch. I'd have been standing on my desk going, yes!
Absolutely brilliant.
Proper punch in my desk.
But again, like I was saying earlier about the internet not working, I couldn't get flash scores. It just would not load up. But everybody was saying that Motherwell had equalised. But I wasn't believing them until I seen it with my own flipping eyes. And then luckily enough, the boy in front of me, he managed to get it on his phone. Boom, there it was. Hallelujah. It was just carnage, yeah. And then come full time, again, carnage. And all the players coming over, Doherty coming over, getting hoisted up and everything. It was just brilliant. You know, the celebrations are absolutely fantastic. Oh, wait, no celebrations, Jake. We can't celebrate being top six, you know. So we'll just have to basically move on, you know. But hey-ho. But that's it. But the D's are in the top six now. And, well, I think massive credit needs to be given to Doc and his staff. Has to be. But not just for the top six. Now, I was speaking to my dad's pal, Brian Gallagher, a couple of weeks ago, when we were in the pub, surprise, surprise. And I don't think I've really seen anybody maybe speaking about it too much, but obviously Doc's main job is to get with points, to win with games. But he's also, his other party's job is to develop players. Do you know what I mean?
Yep,
and if you
absolutely.
look at boys like, I mean, take Cameron, for example. There was obviously doubts, you know, him going up, step up, is he going to be able to do it? Duck to water. Luke McCowan. It's having probably one of the best seasons in a Dundee shirt in that playmaker role.
That's it. It's because Docker moved him into the middle. It is just, the role is made for him. It's absolutely made for him. It's just, suits it perfectly.
He does. He's one of those boys, me and the old boy were speaking about it on the bus home. Like, he's one of those guys that, we were thinking back to the Zach Rudden days, you know, when he couldn't really control his pish, you know. But with Luke McCowan, the ball, it's one touch and then he's away, or it's one touch and it's a pass. He's came on leaps and bounds, but it's not just they two. Look at Portales coming to Scotland, adjusting and getting better each week. Even Tiffany again at the beginning when he came in, and you know, he was injury, he wasn't playing, he was at the team, he was in the team, a bit ropey. And him, he's just getting, again, just getting better and better.
He is. He's becoming the signing we thought we were getting. We'd, you know, I'll admit myself, we were quite disappointed at the start with how he was, but no, he's come on leaps and bounds, and he was fantastic again. What was it, Championship player, some of the boys in the group chat are calling him. But he's fantastic. He's good. People like Costello. He had a couple of mares. He'll tell you that probably. His first couple of games been put at wing back, but he's been playing there recently, with Beck being out, and he's not put a foot wrong so far.
Nope, certainly has not. And obviously, I mean, obviously I'm going to mention my guy, Aaron Donnelly. I think he's came on as well. Guy. And even, you know what, mate? You know what, mate? Even Jordan McGee.
Jordan McGee is, aye. I rave about him every time I'm on here.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know
he might be the new Sean Byrne. He might be.
He might
but,
be. Just getting better and better. And again, that is testament to Doc and his staff for getting these players developed. And I must admit, mate, it is great to see. And I don't think they get enough credit for that. And like it says, it is a big part of a gaffer's job to help develop people. That's it.
That's it. Well, you hope that's going under the radar, because that will be what clubs, I'm not saying Aberdeen, but like Aberdeen and Hibs potentially in the future, look at. You know, you need sellable assets when you're in a Scottish game. That's the only way you can kick on, and that seems to be what we're developing, our sellable assets, and that's in no small part to Doc and his staff.
Yep, absolutely. 10 million each. Absolutely. That's the opening bid, right?
That's it, starting price. Burnley, if you want to do us a wee favour, there you go.
Yeah, buy Luke McCowan and Cameron, 20 million, then just loan them back. That'd be great.
That's the one.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for that, Burnley. Thanks, Burnley. But obviously, top six now secured. Everybody will be anticipating the post-split fixtures. I'm sure we've all seen a reported fixture list scenario that reads along the lines of Killy, the Rangers and St Mirren at home, with away matches against Hearts and Hibs. Hibs! They never got
not
top
Hibs.
Six.
No, they
not
didn't. Hibs. No, Hearts. We had a sporting advantage. That's how we did it.
We had an unsporting advantage. Yeah, shocking behaviour by Dundee, spending all that money on the squad and not spending it on the pitch. You know, it's an absolute disaster. Throw
what
the book at them.
Natural order, they call it, don't they?
They certainly do. And again, the tears from Edinburgh, Motherwell, have all been joyful. But actually, speaking of tears, I'm just kettle well. Lovely, honestly. Flavoursome. It's just stupendous. Salty, but it quenches the thirst.
That's an oxymoron, that. That's good.
It certainly is. But Hearts and Celtic potentially being away. A part of me, I don't know what it is, but a part of me feels like it's a relief that we're in the top six, just a little bit. But see, for me, mate, I feel like the season's just starting.
That I said exactly this earlier. Absolutely, aye. There's so much still to play for. You know, we've made milestone two, I guess, staying up top six. Who's to say we can't go further?
Well, that's it. That is exactly it. Because, I mean, obviously, we're in the top six. I don't think, this is probably me having a moment, but I don't think we can catch Killy. Usually I would be saying, we'll get them, no bother. But nah. But St Mirren, they can be caught. And obviously, you know, there's still a potential European spot if either of the ugly sisters win the Scottish Cup. So,
or Hearts.
Or Hearts, there you are as well. So all three of those ugly sisters. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
you just need Aberdeen pumped and we're happy.
Exactly. That's it. Mm-hmm. How do you anticipate Doc and the team will approach these fixtures, Jake?
I think they'll have a go at it. Because what have we got to lose? Sixth is minimum. We're going to be, you know, we've got to there. So what do we have to lose? Neil McCann had a brilliant wee anecdote talking about playing Rangers, which we'll come back to. But he said, the shackles are off. Play with freedom. If we do that in the next six games, we've got Rangers to play again. Who's to say we can't push on and really, really push for that fifth place spot? And given St Mirren capitulated last year in the top six, lost all five of their games, they could very well do it again. And then it's ours to take if we show up, which I'm sure we will.
I think we will.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely spot on. This is it. Like, I feel like Dundee should be playing with a wee bit of a swagger about them, eh? Especially with other clubs that, you know, they have spent money that haven't made the top six. Obviously, we spent a lot more than they did, obviously. That's why we're in the top six, you know. But
that's it.
I think Neil McCann, he was spot on there. Shackles off. Let's just go for it. Let's just play our football. And you never know, mate. But I think we'll catch St Mirren. I really do. And
if that fixture list is correct, having Killy and St Mirren at home, is huge, and having Rangers at home as well is funny. So that's just going to be fantastic.
They'll be absolutely fizzing, eh?
I really, really, really hope that's true, because it'd just be the icing on the cake for the season if we have to play Rangers at home.
I hope the sun splits the pavement all the way up until the night before of that game, and it pishes down and it gets called off yet again. That would just be sensational. I know I said earlier I don't want to waste my time speaking or waste my breath speaking about these boys, but some of the things that boy Clement's been coming out in the press, you know, we didn't even know what hotel we were going to stay in. Oh, boo fucking who? I know.
I didn't know they had hotels on Mars.
Neither did I. Sensational.
He's honestly anyway. Fucking melt, that boy. Excuse my friend.
Oh, he is. He's one of the biggest melts. I know I put a tweet out calling him Baldermore, but that's not mine. I seen somebody tweet that, and I was like, I'm having that. It's absolutely
But you've
right.
got clout. That's why it's done numbers.
That's what it is.
You're a big
that's
influencer,
Grazer.
Oh, folk what? Asking you for selfies and that. No, did you see him today? No shaking the boy Cowie's hand, and then kind of coming out after the game, but 25 minutes later, and then doing it. He's a classless was the word used to describe him, and I think the mask is slipping. You know, because he's actually carried himself quite well up until this whole pitch debacle. Where I think he's just the mask is slipping, and he's just like the rest of them.
That's it. That's it. Before we get into the Rangers, though, the Rangers game, I'll go through the results. Why not? So Celtic beat St Mirren 3-0. Hearts beat Livy 4-2. Motherwell won. Hibs won. Hey!
Shane Blaney, I love you so much.
What a strike, man. What a strike. Good lad. Thank you very much, mate. You'll be at the Player of the Year dinner. Trust me.
He win our goal of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he probably will. And then the big result of the weekend, obviously, apart from St Johnstone and Killie, it was 2-0 Killie, good result for them. St Johnstone are struggling a wee bit, I think. But then Ross County 3, Rangers 2. A match that's seen Rangers given a penalty, but they still couldn't beat second bottom county. Oof.
It's not and for then, everyone.
Like, it's not for everyone, mate. It isn't. You stole it from me, swine.
Ghostwriters for my tweets.
Well, Jake, next up we have the Rangers at Dens Park, or it might be McDermott Park. It's one of those games, you know, will it be played, won't it be played? You know, there's obviously been an article in the papers about that a pitch inspection will take place on Tuesday. And if the pitch is deemed unplayable, then it will go to McDermott Park. What's your take on the whole media frenzy that we've seen over the past week or two, Jake?
I think there's only been so much fanfare over it, is the word I'll use, because of raging Rangers fans, equal views and clicks and, you know, purchases of papers and all this and nothing else. I don't think if it had been any other team other than Celtic or Rangers that had been called off three times or however many times it would be, that there'd be quite the fanfare. And it's because it drives interaction.
Absolutely spot on. And to be fair, I'm sick to the back teeth of seeing Philippe Clement. Something like that. Because it was actually convenient how a Dundee United fan pointed out that their game against, I think it was Livingston, so it was called off twice. It's called off twice, and one of the games it was called off an hour before kickoff. Where was the media frenzy?
That's it.
There wasn't one. Simple as that. And like I says, I'm just getting fed up at it. Everybody seems to be putting the boot in to Dundee over the pitch. Look, we know the pitch is shite. We know that. But it's not like Dundee can just go and dig the bloody pitch up and re-turf it partway through the season. But some people just seem to not even grasp that, you know?
I know, it's not even partway through the season. It's 3 or 4 home games left. You know what I mean? It's not like it's, still 10 or 11 to go where it might be worth it. Just get through these, and then the minute the last ball's kicked, get a spade in the ground to get it ripped up and make the changes that they said they're going to make, you know?
That's it. That is exactly it. And like I was saying earlier, you know, with folk, you know, putting the boot in, even Martin Keown was putting the boot in. What? What the hell's he got to do with anything?
Okay. It's just an excuse for to drive engagement, I'm telling you.
It is, and I think you're absolutely spot on, mate. You're absolutely spot on. But anyway, obviously we are going to be playing them, and you know me, Jake, with my bonkers predictions.
Yeah, some way to put it.
But I'm not going to say Dundee are going to win 3-0 or 4-0 final. Well, I might, but I could see Dundee getting something from this. Because see, the thing is, obviously, with that Rangers defeat that they just had there against County, they have to win. Like, there are no questions about it. They have to win. Whereas we don't.
We'd like to win.
Like to win, but it doesn't really impact on our season, if that makes sense.
But it does bring us level in points at St Mirren, so there's something to play for.
Yeah,
it's not like we're going into it with nothing to play for, you know? We're going into it with something to really, really go for. And that'll be the message, I assume. It better be, anyway. But as Neil McCann says, there's nothing to lose but a lot to gain, so why can't we?
Let's just go for it. The thing is, the pressure's all on them. It's all on them. And mate, see, for me, I think that's something that we can exploit.
That's it. They've showed today, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this, that they don't have quite the bottle maybe they thought they had. Maybe it's crashed. We'll see.
You said earlier, you know, with Philippe, little Philippe, his mask is slipping. Maybe the bottle's crashed.
That's it.
I think you're right.
What we need to do is give the ball to Tiffany and get him to run at Tav, because he can't defend.
Mate, you've just nicked all my notes.
Ah, sorry.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. Tiffany, get running at him, mate. He will make mistakes. He is not a defender. He is a penalty merchant. That is it. Although he does take a good penalty, I must admit. His penalties are fucking class.
Apart from that one in the 3-0 game they beat us.
Yeah.
When it went in, but the goal was at Tannadice. So.
Yeah, that's it. But look, see for me, see with like Doc's approach, I think it should be... He should basically be going to them. I'm not going to tell him what to do, for fuck's sake, but I feel like his approach should be, look, guys, County and Motherwell have beaten them.
I know.
Now, if they too can beat them, so can we. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be going into this game with like an inferiority complex. Do you know what I mean? We should just be having a right fucking go at them. I just want, obviously we haven't had great performances against Old Firm this season, but I just want Dundee to show up and see, I think we'll take points off them. I really do. I think we'll take points off them and see if we do. You thought that meltdown was bad about the pitch. Woofed.
It'll be incredible. Honestly, it will be. I'll be probably next level. And imagine the views and clicks on what that comes at. I think Clement's about one result away for being cancelled in one of his interviews, to be honest.
Yep.
He'll say something about Dundonians and whatever the stereotype is where I'll stop at that.
Yeah, I think you should, because you're speaking as Dundonian. All right, son. All right.
I can't say much.
Yeah. Well, I'm like I says, I just want to repeat that. I just want Dundee to turn up, put in a performance. Hey, a wee bit of swagger, these triangles and all that kind of stuff. We can rip them apart and just run at Tav. It's all you've got to do. Just run at them, yeah.
Shit the bed.
And he'll shite the bed. Flipping egg, Jay. We are really battering through this tonight, eh?
We are indeed.
We're doing really well. So that's the Aberdeen game, the top six, the Rangers game. I think we're doing okay. How about a wee de-archive?
Go on then.
Let's go for it. Then. In Danny's absence, I've brought it back.
That's my host right there.
That's it. Brilliant. But here we go. Let's start from the top. We've got April the 15th, 1989. This was a victory for Dundee against Hearts. It was 2-1, and the goals came from Gordon Chisholm and Keith Wright. Not bad.
Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant.
Repeat that after the split would be nice.
That would be lovely jubbly, mate. Lovely jubbly. 16th of April 2011, it was Morton 1, Dundee 3. Two goals from Leighton McIntosh and a goal from Gary Harkins. GGH.
What a player.
What a guy. What a player. Hero player, as I would
say. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I think he epitomises the defiant season for me.
He certainly does.
The defiant, that's the face that pops up in my mind.
That's it.
What a guy. What a guy.
What a guy. Now, I'm going way back here. This one's for the I probably can't say for the oldies, but I've said it, so who cares? This is April the 17th, 1965. Dundee beat Third Lanark 6-0. Two goals from Jockey Scott, two from Andy Penman, Alan Cousin, and a Charlie Cook goal. Some names in there, eh?
I was going to say, that's you're listing off the greatest hits there, to be honest.
Absolutely. Greatest hits. And then on the 18th of April 2000, it was Aberdeen 0, Dundee 1. Might have been probably the last time I won. And it was a 92nd minute winner from Mr. Javier Artero.
Love that.
Player. Absolute player. Oh, he's sensational. Actually, you probably weren't even born, were you?
Aye. Chill out. What year did you say that was?
2000.
Oh, it'd have been two.
Oh, right, okay. It's probably on Danny's channel. You can probably watch it. Next up, I've got the 19th of April, and it was 1997. It was Dundee 2, St Mirren 0, and goals from Ian Anderson and Gary McKeeson. And the 20th, we've got Raith Rover. The 20th of April, 1968. I've went right back, Jake. Honestly, I went right back because it was pretty much slim pickings. But Raith Rovers 0, Dundee 2, and the goals were from George McLean and Roddy Georgeson, and I'd never seen this name in my life, Roddy Georgeson. So I googled him. He's Egyptian.
Is he Egyptian?
Couldn't believe it. Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
But the last one for the D archive that I've got for you is the 21st of April 1978. It was a 2-1 victory for Dundee against Dundee United. Goals from Tommy Gemmell and Eric Sinclair. I didn't bother looking to see who scored for United because, let's face it, who gives a shit? So, that's us. The archive. Happy days.
Fantastic. Do you like that? I thoroughly enjoyed that. I like a wee history lesson.
So do I. I love it. And that's that good old website, the D archive. Excellent.
The corresponding YouTube channel. You can see the highlights.
Oh, you certainly can. You certainly can. Danny's been working his arse off. Yeah, he certainly is. You want to see a penny one from him, I can trust you. Trust me on that, man. Now, what have we got next up? I think it's time for the fans' Q&A.
Missed it last week.
Did we? I don't think we'll bother. I think we'll only put the Q&A out when we win or like something good happens, to be fair.
I imagine it'd be filled with questions about the pitch probably if we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I might have messaged Danny when I was probably absolutely gagged after the game saying, put the tweet out. And there has been a fair few questions that have came through. So sadly, I'm not going to get through them all, Jake.
No.
So I'm just going to pick them at random. I'm just going to sugar them up and go, right, let's go for it.
Go for it.
So here we go. You've got to give a shout out to the man, Big Tony Portales, DSC. Give us a win, yo. Who gets the Up With The Bonnets Player of the Year so far? I've got a funny feeling. I think I know what your answer will be.
Go on, then.
Sorry, I was just saying a swig of beer, mate. Luke McCowan.
Luke McCowan. Absolutely. Hands down. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Luke McCowan, not by a country mile, but he's been by far a standout. Yeah.
He's the most consistent over the whole season. I mean, you've had Silla, but he's not come until later. Cameron's dipped in and out of form.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say another shout, one that more likely being one for players than fans, because McCowan scores the goals, does all the flash stuff, but we mentioned him earlier, Jordan McGee, Mr. Reliable. Yeah. I think he's a wild card shout for me. But McCowan gets my vote.
Yeah, I'll second that. Yep, and I agree with you on John McGee. Again, one of those players that just under the radar, does his job, nothing fancy, just class, consistent. That's it. And that's all we ask for. That's it. What have we got? Ross Scythe, Dark Blues. Was Grazer singing Hibs Are Falling Apart Again yesterday at the match? He was, and he was belting it out. And I think everybody was belting it out when we were leaving the stadium, from what I remember. It was absolutely brilliant.
There's a video of it. There's a video of it on Twitter.
I'm sure I took a video as well, but I fucking, God knows. Who else have we got? What have we got? Ah, you know what? We'll go for Ethan Mullett-Hampton while we're here. For everyone who gave a bollocking to Nelms and Strachan over letting Bowyer go to bring in Tony Dock, will their apologies be as loud as their disrespect?
I can't imagine it. It's a brilliant. It's fantastic.
It won't be. I think obviously folk were a bit like, who? Tony Dock? Who's he? But I can obviously understand. Yeah, I think we all were, to be perfectly honest with you. But the job he's done. I think there'll be tweets deleted, definitely.
There will be. Not before I retweet them.
No, absolutely not. I mean, obviously, folk are entitled to their opinion, but there is times when you have to just hold up your hands and go, I was wrong, guys, I was wrong.
I was gutted when they got rid of Bowyer, to be fair, even though the football was horrible to watch and the team scraped it at the last kick of the ball, really. But I was gutted. Just, he was quite likeable, wasn't he? But not as likeable as my man, Tony.
Nah, definitely not. Definitely not. All the best, mate. Has he got a job yet? I don't know. Anyway, nah. Who cares?
He whinges about us on podcasts. That's what he does.
Oh, I'm sure I never watched that. Anyway, Mike Young, my cousin, here he comes. Well done on finishing top six, but are you worried that 8 of the 11 fielded players are loanees? The losses announced, does this concern you? Where the money will be invested next season in the team or on the pitch?
No.
Quite a few things. Long story short, Mike, no, we're not worried at all.
No. Tony Dock came out with it in an interview a few months ago. He said this was always the plan. You know, the loan market, you get better players in for less money. Use that to consolidate and then building it the next year.
And see, this is the thing I was thinking about, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it before. Obviously, there's going to be the link up with, but there is the link up with Burnley, so we will probably see players coming on loan again. Great, but I think again, teams will probably look at Dock and kind of like I touched on earlier how he's developed players, and they'll probably go, come on, we've got a really good laddie in the under 23s. He's on the cusp of, you know, first team. Go to Dundee. Get developed, and then it's win-win for them, win-win for us.
Absolutely.
So I could see it happening. Right, Ryan Adam. You know what? I've seen these kind of questions before. They're absolutely brilliant, right? Here we go. Question, out of the current squad, make your ultimate Dundee FC footballer. So you've got to pick left foot, right foot, speed, strength, football IQ, and the most handsome.
Ooh.
Left foot, come on.
Owen Beck.
You take his left foot over McCowan's?
Yep.
I'm actually amazed at that.
Yeah. No further comment, Owen Beck.
Yeah, you're taking it back. Right foot, what are you going for?
Right foot. Oh.
I'm going Lyle Cameron.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout because he's got like power in there that he didn't think he's got. Yeah, I agree. Lyle Cameron.
Speed. I'm going Tiffany.
You think?
Oh, boy's rapid, man.
Yes.
He's rapid. You can see him. He's going at the clappers whenever he's sprinting, man. He's just.
He just runs a bit all the time, man. Aye, Tiffany, why not?
Tiffo.
Or Dara. Dara's rapid as well. But
yeah,
Tiffo.
He's pretty quick. Yeah, he's quick. Next up, strength.
There's only one answer.
Go for it.
Big Mo.
Big Mo? I always thought you were going to say Curtis Main because the boy's an absolute unit.
But Silla's... Nah, Silla could hold off an invasion, that boy.
You know what? I'll go with that. I'll go with Silla. Football IQ.
Cameron.
Cameron?
I think he reads the game better than anybody else.
You know what? I think you're. I'm going to give you that one, mate. I would have maybe said Boateng at a push, but yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Some of the spaces he finds is just unbelievable. And finally, most handsome. It's got to be Shagger.
Kendall, Luke McCowan. Slim, shady Luke McCowan does it for me. No, I'm lying. Aaron Donnelly.
All right, okay. Yeah, Aaron give you Donnelly. That. Wee Donnelly. What a guy. Luke. Who's this? Aaron Campbell. He is a regular of the podcast listening. It's no question. It's more of a statement. Get it right up. Hibs, Montgomery, Motherwell, Kettlewell, and the SFA. I completely agree.
I don't know if we've made it clear enough, but I concur.
I completely agree. What have we got? Who have we got? You know what? We'll go with the Dens Park Choir. You're here. Ethan's question's done. We might as well do the Dens Park Choir. Everybody will think there's a wee bit of favouritism, though. But anyway, what are your top six draft pints?
That is a fantastic question from a probably very handsome man. right. Tenants Tank. Not Tenants, but Tenants Tank, number one. Aye, I know. Asahi, number two. Stella Unfiltered, number three. Guinness, number four. San Miguel, number five. And number six, we'll go for Cold Town beer from Cold Town House.
Flip an egg, man. Right, off the top of my head, it's got to be the San McGuigan. Has to be. Bit of Moretti, Guinness, Star of Pramin.
Oh, Star of Pramin. Shout.
I like how you said a sigh. I'm going to take that.
Sigh on draft is next level.
The last one, what would it be? I've never seen it on draft, but if it was available on draft, that's Sapporo.
Oh, that stuff is unbelievable.
Sensational stuff.
And that massive can, aye.
Oh, honestly, the best. I think... That is us pretty much running out of time, unless we've got another one that we can go for. You know what, Andrew Penman, good lad. Do you think the players will now put their flip-flops on, or will we kick on? Seem to remember last time round we went 0 from 5 when we were in the top six. So, Andrew, we touched on it. I think we're going to... The season starts now, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that would be the same thing being told the dressing room come tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. Spot on. That's pretty much it, isn't it, Jakey Boy? So, but lastly, before we go, I must admit it was brilliant in the pub up in Aberdeen, Archibald Simpson, seeing so many Dundee fans and even Aberdeen fans, and before and after having a great crack. There was no animosity, no fights, no nothing. It was just good crack. Oh, the Aberdonian crack was pretty rubbish. It was just stuff about. Your pitch, you'll be happy it's happening in Pittodrie, you know, it bends, your pitch. It got really boring and really monotonous, I must admit. There was about three or four boys that came over to the table, but there was one boy in particular, I'm not joking you. He just came over our table, standing there, and he puts down his two pints, and then he leans on the counter, leans on the table, and looks at all three of us, and we're all like, what the fuck is this guy all about? What's going on here? And then he just went, yeah, boys, you'll hate to tell your manager that there's a B&Q down the road there about 10 minutes and they've got a half-price sale on turf, can? And then he just picked up his pints and fucked off. So this podcast is dedicated to that individual right there. He absolutely made my day. But yeah, I think Jake, on that note...
Your hoodie head is better.
I quite like that. I'm going to one. I think it's pretty good. And on that note, I think we'll leave you in the knowledge that the D's are in fact top six material. Just want to thank you, Jake, for coming on. I nearly called you Danny there, eh?
That's all right.
But I want to thank you for coming on, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. You obviously did well last week, hence the reason why we've let you back on. So
thanks.
It's been lovely having you, mate.
I'll take that. Thank you very much. Pleasure's all mine. Pleasure's all mine.
Pleasure's all mine as well. But obviously, we'll have to give a big thank you out to our sponsor, Hilton Electrical, and obviously you guys, the fans and the listeners who have put up with us for nearly two seasons now. And I must admit, I don't think you will realise how greatly appreciated it actually is. But yep, on that note, we will leave you in the top six. And thank you very much, and away the D's.